podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. There is Mick Moran and Christian Anderson once again to talk about the... We're a bit late. I think we promised Monday for a reaction show, but we're on Wednesday now. So apologies, we're two days late. We did give you another show, which was... I want to open with that show because it was a chat with Christian hosting, and it was a chat about 97 Plus, which is like a Hillsborough theatrical drama based on two survivors and their stories. And it was, if you haven't listened to that yet, then I would encourage you to go and have a listen to that, because it's a tricky topic, I think, to always talk about, but it's one that needs to continue to be talked about because of how poignant it is. So I think if you go and have a little listen to that, then you... Well, actually, before we get stuck into it, how are you doing, lad? How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. And it was good to do that show with Tom, who's obviously the writer and producer of the 97 Plus show. And like you said, it's a difficult topic to talk about. I found it a little bit hard to talk about, to be honest. Obviously, language-wise, English not being my first language. And then you go into a little bit more like deep stuff, I would still be able to understand and talk about it. But it's, you know, what you have to think about what you say and how you say it, because it is a very touchy subject. You know, a sensitive one that you want to respect because of, you know, the disaster and tragedy in itself. So it was nice to do, but still, you know, a little bit tough in one way to, you know, discuss this topic, even if it's a good cause and, you know, him doing the show and everything. And he was really, really good with his, you know, storytelling about how he came up with it and, you know, the process of interviewing people and everything and how you blend the stories into different persons, so you can never, you know who said what, because he's kind of merged them into different personalities. So, yeah, if you haven't listened to it, like Mick said, then go and do, please. And then obviously there's a link in our social media where you can buy the tickets for the show if you want to go on the 12th of April. But yeah, I'm really good. We're playing Prague tomorrow. Obviously, this is a review of Man City as well, and I'm happy despite the result, because I think in the end we should have won. But you know, what I saw from Liverpool in that second half is, you know, for me personally, it's one of the best performances during the season, and we have had many of them. But I think, you know, as a team, as a collective, that was really, really positive going into the final part of the season, if you like.
Yeah, I think it was a it was a massive game, wasn't it? I think that we talked about on the preview, like how massive it was. And it's like, it's hard to not be drawn into, like, the result of this game means X, it means this, it means this. So I think a draw on the face of it, on the first half, I would have fucking snapped your hand off for it. On the face of the second half, I'm absolutely gutted that we didn't get over the line, to be honest, because the amount of chances, exactly. I mean, and we usually go into high detail in terms of the goals and chances and this, that, and the other, but we're a bit constrained by time today. So we need to probably give it a consideration in terms of the whole game. And like we always do, we've got to start with the starting lineup, because that's where we always start. That's where we've got to always start, because I think it's a good platform to build from. So starting 11 was Kelleher, Bradley, Quonset, Van Dijk, Gomez, left back. Midfield three of Szoboszlai, Endo and McAllister, and a forward three of Elliot, Nunes and Diaz. So Salah and Rabo on the bench, I guess somewhat surprisingly so, especially in the case of Mo Salah, because we had a full 10-minute discussion on the preview about, like, Salah's fit, he has to start this game. This is a Salah game. This is a Salah moment where he can turn up and produce the goods. And came on the second half and still produced them in terms of passes in behind and work rate, etc., all the stuff that he usually provides. But in terms of lineup, I think maybe going into it like the first half, I think we always have this problem first half where we take a bit longer than I want us to like, we like to assess what they're going to do and then we react to it. But sometimes I think in the bigger games, against the bigger opposition, it can take a bit longer to react if they start really well because of the quality they've got. Like Haaland, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Foden, like all these players are in form and can cause any team in world football a problem. So you need to be on top of your game. But the fact that we went with a very inexperienced right-hand side with Bradley and Kwanzaa, a very experienced left side, to be fair, Van Dijk and Gomez, and then Szoboszlai back in and Elliot on the right hand side of the like forward three. So there was, in terms of like that game as a whole, it's mad that you think about it. We feel disheartened that we didn't win it, considering the people that we didn't have and the people that came on off the bench, but the people that still weren't even in the periphery of the squad, the likes of Alisson, Trent, Jota, Jones, Konate. Like you factor all them in as well. You're like, fucking hell. And I posted something after it and I got like, I didn't even check my phone and I checked my phone again. I got like 1K likes on it. I was like, fucking hell. So like people do agree with me. I'm not talking shit all the time. People do like to hear what I'm saying. But you factor that into it, all the people that we're missing. It's a massive statement that we feel the sign that we didn't win that game.
Yeah, and when you look at the start 11 from the start, you're looking at Conor Bradley and Kwanzaa, you know, playing. They've done really, really well. But, you know, now they're up against the big boys, you know, some of the best players in the league that plays in Man City, obviously. But in one way, you know, you feel it. You'd be like, you know, it could be tricky. But at the same time, I wasn't nervous. Like, I felt like they've done so well. This is a test for them. Obviously, this can go the wrong way, but I want to trust them, you know. I want to trust them the same way that Virgil van Dijk, as the captain, trusts them when he knows that they're going to start and they are in the dressing room ahead of the game. I want to trust them in that same way because he's walking out with them on the pitch and will trust them to do their job because he's the captain and he has told them so and what he expects from the team because that's what they do, obviously. And I'm the same. I'm trying to be the same as a supporter and trust them, be like, they've been doing so well. I should just trust them to do the job because they've been so good. Because it can be that, well, you know, Virgil van Dijk is probably the best defender we have ever seen. But, you know, it could be that he has a bad day. You know what I mean? Like, it could happen. The one of the best ever does have a bad day at the office and gets done by Haaland, for example. So, obviously, you think that could also more happen to someone like Kwanzaa. But, you know, at the same time, I just want to be able to trust him. So when I saw that, I was like, just go for it. And the midfield, I was happy with because I think, you know, Szoboszlai coming in. The thing is, though, we will probably talk about that. But, you know, you can tell he's not in form in that way, you know, since the injury and not playing regularly and not having the rhythm like we have talked about when it comes to Jones. It's the same kind of thing. Still looking for him to take it to the next level that he had when he came in the start of the season. And then, obviously, Harvey Elliott and, you know, starting at the again, another game for us at the front three and running his bollocks off. You know, I think he's one of our most important players at the moment because he also does great things in the game with the ball and off the ball, obviously, with his running, pressing, working so hard. You know, I can't give him enough credit. I think he's been brilliant since he was dropped into the team because of the injuries. And Darwin Nunes and Leos Diaz, obviously, they are players that we know going to play if they fit. And obviously, with Salah on the bench, we were arguing about maybe he should start because we know that Salah is Salah. But in terms of the team, and like you said, overall in that game, when you look at the first half and how they were on us from the start, and then we worked ourselves into it, despite obviously their goal and that corner, I think you're looking at the players and be like, you know, to do that over a whole game in the second half that we did, it is very, you know, it is brilliant and it's very much to be respected from, you know, our point of view, the fans. You have to be so proud over the boys, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you look at the game as a whole as well, like I said, we won't get into it in terms of like a massive level that we usually do, because we always say we'll do 40 minutes and we end up doing an hour and a half and all that shit, especially when we're on drinks on the Drink and Discuss show. But Yeah, we do go 1-0 down, and it was like it was a bit of a arrow to the heart, that, because I thought we were doing well. Like, we were, of course, like, in transition, if we're pressing hard and they've got the players I mentioned before, they can hurt anyone in world football. So the fact that they can hurt us isn't a surprise. But it was the way it came, like 23 minutes in, John Stones scores. The fact that he's a former Evertonian, let's not get into that. But it also
came when we had worked ourselves back in the game. That's why it felt
exactly.
So hard.
Yeah. That's why I hurt more, I think. And I think that's why the way it worked out, I think Ache, like, giving a little fucking pushing his arse into McAllister, pushing him out the way a little bit, it was clever. And I think I took from that in the most uber positive way, that they always change it feels like their identity completely when they play against us. Like, what you see from City, any other game against Sheffield United or fucking, I don't know, Burnley,
Man United,
anyone else, you can see the identity, like it's flowing through the veins of every player. You can see it. When they play us, they're like, oh, what can we do in the week to try and score a goal against them at Anfield to score a goal? And it's like, I find a lot of solace in that in a weird way, because like, they need to find extra ways to get these goals. And fair play, it was a good way to do it, because the whole thing was set up perfectly, and Stones gets in and he scores. And you're staring down the barrel halfway through the first half, and you're like, fucking hell, like, is it going to be one of them games where like, they just crack on and maybe score another one and it's game over? Or you immediately you're thinking the worst case scenario when they get that first goal. Of course you are. That's natural as a fan, no matter where you are in the world watching the game. You think, is this going to be one of them days where it just doesn't happen for us? And you think about the title race, your mind starts racing about other things, like the game's coming up, are we gonna, etc, etc. But yeah, how was you feeling, like, especially when you think you're standing on a battle of going down and you're going into halftime 1-0 down against a team where first goal, cliche as fuck, as we always say, but it is key. It is massive. First goal is huge. And if you build on it, then great. But I think looking down the barrel of a 1-0 at halftime, I'm hoping and praying that the second half would come out in the way that we did. But it's also like, these are so quality and they're so good. They've got so many amazing players that if we crack on, like, pressing high and whatever, the chances in behind and the opportunities for them are going to increase as well, because the high line gets higher and higher and higher, as high as it can go, to allow them to go in as well.
Yeah, I think if they would have scored like straight away when they were on us from the start and we didn't find a way into the game, I would have been more worried. But when they scored that goal after we worked ourselves into the game and I felt that we are starting to get a momentum and rhythm, obviously I'm still, you know, concerned because they scored and we won 1-0 down at home against Man City. But I wasn't as concerned because I felt if we continue the way we've done and being clever, then there's a chance, you know, we will create chances, obviously, because you can create chances against Man City because they do go offensively even if they play away and all that stuff. And we got the quality, even though we don't have like the first starters that we wished we had. But I just felt that we can still go and find something. But then, like you mentioned, we need to go out in the second half and start off straight away. And we did. And I was happy with what I saw. And I thought, if we can work ourselves way back here and get a chance and score, you know, then we have the chance to go and win it as well. So obviously a bit concerned, but not, you know, in a way that I felt that this game was done. And, you know, because like I said, we always seems to know when, you know, we're in a game where we can do things or if this is going to be a difficult one. And I felt we had the momentum that, you know, where we could get something from. So I was like 50-50, like we can still go and do something, but we need to do it, you know, quite quick in the second half. Otherwise, it will be very, very hard.
Yeah, I think, and we did it, to be fair. Like when you think about like how I mentioned, like how good they are coming out in the second half, you maybe expect them to come out a little bit ready to capitalize on that and to try and bury the game as much as they can. But Liverpool, didn't allow that, and the atmosphere, and we spoke about this in the preview show, but like the atmosphere and how good it needs to be, and it was in large parts of the game where we needed the fans to be there, and we get that goal on the 50th minute, and now that I look back, the 50th minute sounds a bit mad because like when you're watching the game and you're so engrossed that you're not factoring like the times. Like I think in the cup games or whatever, like you can think, oh yeah, that was scored on this time, and it's easy for it to go in your brain because it was there was a couple of goals in the game and you can easily assimilate it. But like the fact that it was like 5 minutes after the half and Ake plays a ball and Nunes is right there, has the presence of mind and the energy and the pace to get in behind. Ederson completely takes him out. I do wish we had like a return of the old rules where it was a pen and a red card. I'd love them rules to return. I really do. But it was a pen. It was one of the most stonewall clearest pens you'll ever see. And Maka, fresh after scoring his first pen for us recently, steps up. And I just had no doubt that he was going to score and get us back in the game with that penalty.
Yeah, I felt very confident. You know, I've said it before. Obviously, we know that Salah is going to be our first penalty taker because he wants to score goals and, you know, break records and all that. And that's fine because, you know, usually he does score. He had like a bit of time where that happened where he couldn't, you know, where he missed some and all that. But, you know, that was it. But, you know, when you look at it now and McAllister, the way he just, you know, waits until he can get that penalty kick, I think I just feel based on how he took penalties in Brighton, how he have taken a few for Argentina, I think, and the way and the presence that he has, that's the thing. Like, you can tell that he's someone that got a great touch of the ball, you know, a great strike of the ball. And he seems to be one of them who just, you know, buries them into the net. There's no fuss about, like Milner used to do. You know what I mean? So when he stepped up, I just felt like, you know, he's going to score. But you never know, though. But, you know, I was feeling that he's going to score. And if we score now, then we can build on that momentum on the pitch and from the stands as well. So, yeah, great goal to get at that time. And then knowing that you got quite a lot of time to try to actually go and win this game.
Definitely. I think that's the point that I take away from it is, like, first half was a bit of a... We had some decent, I guess, chances, I think, in terms of the game. Just having a quick look at the stats. We had one shot on target. We have three off. They have four on target and one off target. But it wasn't completely their way. And in the second half, five shots on target and five shots off target. So 10 shots in the second half for us. They had two on and one off. So we had 10, they had three in the second half. I think that tells the story in terms of how well that second half went for us. And I think we might as well, like, we can talk about individual, like we always do, like individual performances. Harvey Elliott was just the lungs of, like, I can't even describe the lungs that they've got on him. And how good he was in terms of pressing and just doing the dirty stuff that this Liverpool side are really good at. But in terms of like them extra levels that we want to see, like we saw from Szoboszlai earlier in the season, like just running above and beyond like the levels that we expect and being amazing. Same with Endo and McAllister. Compilations I've seen of them since the end of the game where they're just like knitting together play and just being like, just, yeah. Making Kevin De Bruyne throw his arms up in the air going, fuck's sake, I hate this fella. Just stuff like that where you're like, this is fucking so good. But we have to talk about the penalty at the end because it'd be remiss of me to talk about that because you've got to factor it into consideration when you think how disappointed you are in terms of the result. But there's so many layers to that. I think we had a discussion in the group chat, like, dangerous play. He puts his foot in the air. Doesn't get the ball. Add another layer to your fucking onion. There's another layer. Doesn't win the ball either. And it's like, I get it's the nine. I think it was like 98, like 30 seconds or whatever. So like, you're in the probably tense last 20 seconds of the game. I understand like it's a big pressure moment and needs to be right and all that, but it's such a huge call. And if it was against us, yeah, of course, we'd be like, yeah, this is a joke. Like, if it was Bernardo Silva, you'd be like, he's a daven bastard and et cetera, et cetera. But the way it all played out, for me, it's a clear penalty. And there's multiple layers to say why it's a penalty. And I think that's hard to get over, because I think, like, Van Dijk done an interview straight after the game, I was, like, waiting for it. And he said it's bittersweet. And it's like, that says a lot. Like, we're missing all these players. We're gutted we didn't beat these, but it's not because of, not just because of the penalty, because the chance we had, we haven't talked about Luis Diaz and how good he was and ripping Walker and Rodri down the line and all that, but his finishing weren't great. But it's those chances plus the penalty on top where you think we should have won this game, really.
Yeah, and that, you know, I agree with you. It's a clear penalty. And, you know, everyone says, you know, all over the, you know, the pitch, there's a, it's a free kick and a yellow card. You know, it, in the box, people say, you know, it might need to take a little bit more to, you know, get a penalty. But I'll be like, it's another thing if it's a more of a, you know, a fair foul, like a fair foul in the sense that someone comes in with a tackle or, you know, makes you fall over and doesn't get the ball first. You know, that could be a pen, obviously, but it could be also be like he falls over a little bit easy and all that. But this is a high foot in chest height. It, you know, if McAllister comes in with his head and try to head it and get, you know, he gets his foot in his face or his head, wouldn't that be a penalty? I would say 100% so. But, you know, now he hits him in the chest. It's the same level where, you know, it's because if you put your foot up that high in your own penalty box at that point of a game and you are not actually 100% getting that ball first, even you get it and there's no contact with the player, you're actually trying to remove your foot, then you get the ball first, you get time to remove it, but you hit the player, then you can argue, yeah, you would, you know, clearly on the ball first and then try to not hurt someone or hit someone. At this point where he does this, he doesn't even get the ball first, because you can see by the replay that it does touch McAllister's chest first very quickly. But then he also gets his studs in the chest. So, you know, it's a clear penalty and it's a weird decision. But, you know, it is what it is, because, like you said, they feel the pressure. It's one of them, you know, calls where it probably wins us the games. There will be a lot of discussions after. It's been anyway. But it feels, like you said, like the bittersweet thing that Virgil van Dijk said, because they worked so hard. They had many players that are starters out from the starting 11. You know, they done brilliantly in the second half against this team. They, you know, supposed to be the best in the world and, you know, cheating the way there and whatever, you know, with these players. And you work that hard and you just do a great performance. You know, Endo gets Kevin De Bruyne, one of the best midfielders in the world, subbed because he fucking can't get any space or do anything creative because he's there all the time. The Japanese samurai, you know, fucking getting it into him all the time. So yes, when you get that, you know, situation and that shout for a penalty and it's not given and they don't even, you know, get the referee to check on their screen, you feel like, so, you know, what does it take to get a penalty? You know, because even if it's in the last couple of seconds, it's a high foot in the chest of a player in the penalty box. It's dangerous play. He doesn't get the ball first. We shouldn't even be sitting here and discussing it, to be honest.
Yeah, when you break it down, it's like, how many layers do you want for it to be a pen? Like, and it's, I just think they've panicked. I think if it's, I don't know, 70-odd minutes, they might go, oh, there's...
It should matter, though. Like, they should just follow the rules. It doesn't matter what time. They should just be like,
yeah, sorry. But I'm trying
to think.
You're
doing
of, like,
that in your own penalty box. You have to suit yourself. That's your own... You can only blame yourself. Like,
yeah.
If he goes in with his head or whatever, jumps up with his head and they crack into each other, that's another, you know, that's not dangerous play. It might be stupid play, but then they hit each other. Nothing, it's a challenge, but this is dangerous play because you put your foot that up high. So yeah, it shouldn't matter when, the first minute or the last second of a game, it's dangerous play in your penalty area. You just have to, you know, blame yourself for being stupid if you're giving away that kind of opportunity to someone else, you know, because even though Alexis McAllister sees it and goes into it, he's hit in the chest. Like, no, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna go into this challenge and get hit and get hurt. It's more like I'm gonna try to get the ball, but there's a fucking foot in the way and it hurts. So Yeah.
I'm trying to like see into their mind as to why they haven't given it. Because like on the face of it, it's a penalty. So it makes you think like what's the reasons behind like I can't forgive the referee for not giving it because he was right there. I've seen the view of him. So why has not been given? But then you've got, it's like they're not giving it, but then they're relying on VAR. But then the VAR don't want to go against it because they don't want to make him look like a knobhead. And it's this vicious circle that's just constantly surrounding every single game where the refs don't want to give it because they're like, well, if I'm badly wrong, VAR will step in for me. But then VAR don't want to because they're like, well, we don't want to make you look like a tit. And the problem is they may be made to look a tit every game because there's so much stuff going on.
Exactly, and it's not the first controversial, you know, decision. Like, we've seen it so many times this season. We had a few, you know, the Tottenham game, we had the handball against Arsenal, we got this. And I'm not saying it's only Liverpool, we've seen it in other games too. So, but, you know, it's frustrating when you see situations, not only this one, but others, where you think it's a clear penalty. I don't know where they base their decision on, because you're thinking, you know, in any kind of game where those things happen, it should be a goal or it should be a penalty or it should be, you know, a yellow, red or red card, whatever. But sometimes you'd be like, well, I don't understand football anymore. It's not very obvious, is it? Like the rules are weird if they have something to, you know, rely on in a book or whatever. Like, oh, this is the rules. But, you know, I'll be like, oh, well, you know, I played football. I've seen football all my life. Obviously, it changes. But I always be like, you can always tell when something like that is should be a penalty or, you know, a yellow card, a red card, or whatever. Because everywhere else on the pitch, it's a certain free kick and a yellow card. Can't say anything. If it wasn't, then I would be very, very surprised.
Yeah, well, let's move on. Because, of course, we're still, I guess, joint top of the league when you look at it. Us and Arsenal on 64 points they've got. Well, +7 goal difference better, which is decent to be fair. But there have been battering teams recently. We've got a few teams hopefully coming up soon that we can try and close that back. Of course, Man City is still 1 point behind. But let's move on a little bit to Sparta Prague, which is tomorrow. Back at Anfield, 8 p.m., 5-1 from the first leg. So, in an annoying way, when you think about it, like, we lost Konate in that game, and it was a bit of a bit annoying. But Gerald Conte stepped up perfectly well in the City game and done really well. So it's hard to try and think of that game where you take Conte out and put Konate in, and would we have won the game? It's hard to say that because he's a defender. He's a defender's defender. So it's hard to see how we could influence the game in terms of an attacking point of view. But we lost them from that game. But I think in terms of being extra positive, we've got 4-goal leads. We scored 5 goals in that game. So in terms of this game, we can maybe look at it and go, well, we can. I always want to see like a nice blend of youth and experience. I think this is the perfect game where we can do that, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we should never take anything for granted. So, you know, we should still go out there and work and, you know, get a result. But I think we are in a position where we could, like you said, use more youth and some experience. I think there might be some players, you know, that could, you know, make the debut maybe if they included. I don't know. Or if we need to, you know, give someone certain minutes, we can do that without being, you know, nervous about it. Like if we give someone first half and then actually change for the second half or something like that, we don't need to go out there and perform like if it was 0-0 or, you know, that kind of result. We actually 5-1 up, so we can just control the game, be clever about it, and don't risk anyone. You know, even though there's an international break coming up, we still just want to make sure that everyone is fresh when we come back for the Premier League, because obviously there's going to be so many key games, and it's been already, but you know, it's going to be more key games coming up for us when we move forward from the international break, that we need everyone back fit, because it's going to be a tough schedule, you know, if, you know, we, you know, going through in the Europa League, we will see what happens on Sunday. We're playing the FA Cup away against Man United. So we just need everyone to be fit again and be able to rotate more and, you know, give some players certain minutes and all that. So I just hope we are clever, use youth, but have some experience, but then also don't let players that are very key for us going forward play too long. Just make sure they are all right.
Yeah, we might as well go straight to there's no point trying to predict the lineup. We might as well just a score prediction then. So what are you thinking? 5-1 up, I think. Like we said, nice blend of youth and experience. So yeah, I'm not expecting wonders, but I think they're a good side. But at Anfield, with a decent atmosphere, I still expect us to win that game.
Yeah, I say 3-1. We might just concede one because we might be a little bit confident, a little bit that we are through already. So it might come back and bite us once. But I think we still got the quality to play them off the park when we at home and score three goals. Doesn't matter if we got like young players like the likes of Clarks or Dans or whatever. I think they are capable to do a good job. So we score three, but might concede one then.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that, definitely. I think just getting through to the next round, I think the draw's on, is it on Friday, is it, after the Champions League draw? So let's hope City and Arsenal draw each other and one of them gets knocked out, and then we get a favourable draw going into the next round. So, yeah, and then I was going to do this at the beginning, but we might do it at the end because Michael Edwards has mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, like when it was getting floated around, like that he might be coming back, and it's been confirmed now. So he's now coming back as the CEO of the club. So overarching view of everything, I think his words kind of were like he wants to be on the same level as like a manager, but more of a backroom staff. But he's got that much influence in terms of what the club's trying to do, that he wants to be paid to show that, I guess, which I guess I understand if you're doing that much work in behind the scenes, and we've seen how much work he's done in the past in terms of making great signings and great decisions on certain things. I think there's bits of it that I really like. I like that he's back. I think it's a key time when you're losing Jürgen Klopp after so many years. No one's going to replace him. So to have the people in place who are going to be able to oversee that transition and who know the club inside out, it makes it easier to transition easier. I guess the only other things that come out of it is the multi-club ownership. And I guess we'll do another show on this in a bit more detail because it's probably an hour type show where we'd have a proper chat. It's probably a show we'd do in a pub, because it's like have a few pints and talk about stuff. But it's in terms, generally, I think the thought of having him back is massive at a time where we need a bit of stability, where the main fella is going to be leaving.
Yeah, especially when you think, like you said, he was in the club for a long time. He was very heavily, included and a part of, selling players for high fees, players that were not considered good enough, but we still got quite a lot of money for them. He was part of the smart and clever business for players coming in, to find the right prospects and get them in, and then obviously what they turned out to be for us. So, he's someone who's very clever and knows the club, like you said. And I think, if you put away all this, multi-ownership of football clubs and all, them kind of rumors and news that came out about that, like you said, it's another conversation, another show, I guess. But in terms of having someone to oversee this transition after Jürgen Klopp leaves, that's good. And I read a tweet saying, that they're now knowing that they can't replace Jürgen Klopp, like the person and the manager that he is with all his qualities. So they find different people that can turn into a sort of Jürgen Klopp altogether. Like they find him to make sure, what's going on at the football club is at the greatest and highest level. And also you can argue, it's great that he's back because, he turned down Chelsea, turned down Man United before. The rumor says, that they've been, giving him an offer and that he's been saying no, and now he's back here in a, higher role and all that. So that's good. And then they're talking about him obviously taking in the, sporting director or whatever from Bournemouth. We'll see what happens. But then also if they find the right manager for us, so those three can be like a combined something, like trying to be as much Jürgen Klopp as you can, but in three people. I thought that was quite clever because, FSG know that Jürgen Klopp is, you can't replace him. So, you know, it's good news that he's back. I think it's confident to say, you know, we know that he's done a great job before, so he probably will do again. It feels safe. It feels, you know, like we can relax a bit now when we know Jürgen leaving, but we know that the club is in good hands when it comes to that position. And then we'll see who they will bring in as manager, because obviously that's where I care. I like that he is back, Edwards, and I think, you know, it's great to have him back. I think he will do a great job, but you know, in my view and the supporter I am, I rather just care who's going to be the manager. But you know, I think, you know, as long as FSG is doing this great job with right the people, right business, sustainable ownership and all that, I can't complain.
Yeah, I think the whole like Richard Hughes thing is like just drags up like Premier League stickers from back in the day where he's like playing for Portsmouth and all that. I just think it's played against Alonso, and you're like, people are posting pictures of them having a little battle in the field together. So yeah. it drags up all those things, well, which I think is like obviously the more humorous side. And we will do a designated show to talk about this a little bit more in detail in terms of our thoughts on the picture as a whole, not just the positives, but also maybe some of the slight negatives that you could draw out of it. But yeah, we'll leave it there then. And of course, we mentioned at the top of the show about like the show that Christian done yesterday with Tom Kane about the 97 plus. If you want to go and have a listen to that, it'll be the second latest show in the list of shows. So if you want to go and have a listen to it, then please do. It's done really well so far, like on social media with people retweeting and stuff. So And the feedback's been good. So yeah, definitely go and give it a listen. And if you haven't seen, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we've got like an exclusive with Jack Design, and that's now out. So if you want to, if you fancy going, I think maybe the confusion online's been like, is it a t-shirt, but we've got a football shirt out with Jack Design Heavy Metal Reds logo on, and also us as the main. So Jack Design is where the badge goes, and where Carlsberg goes in traditional old kit. So it's a thing of beauty. It really is. Red and white, dead sleek, dead professional. Love it. If you want to go and buy one, and I always say this, if you want to go and help Jack Design, but also help us at the same time, jackdesign.uk/copite. The kit's on there. If you want to buy one, and if you do and you want to tag us and send us a picture of how good it looks, and trust me, I know, because I've got one in the house. It's fucking amazing. Then please do, because it's helping a small independent Liverpool designer. So I guess Small's underplaying it. I think Jack Design's pretty big. He's massive, to be fair. I think Small's underplaying how big he is in terms of Liverpool Designs. And us, I can say it's a small podcast because I know that. It's fine. I'm happy with that. If you want to go and support him and then also us by doing that, then that's completely fine. So that's jackdesign.uk/copite, and have a little look at the kit. And I'll put the link in the description if you want to have a little look at it as well. So nice one, everyone, for listening. Nice one for Christian for jumping on. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Copite Podcast. Podcast Network.